Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. We've got a good program for you today. Coming up later on in the show, we'll have a review of the new film Secretariat. But right now, we're going to be spotlighting music from films about horses. And we're going to begin by going back to 2004, and a movie that was something of an attempt to turn Viggo Mortensen, hot off the success of the Lord of the Rings movies, into a blockbuster action star. It didn't quite work. The movie wasn't so good, but Mortensen's gone on to star in many fine, less expensive dramas since. But right now, let's take a listen to this music from Hidalgo by composer James Newton Howard.
Thank you.
And that's music written for Hidalgo by composer James Newton Howard. Next up, a sweet and inspirational film starring Kurt Russell and Dakota Fanning. This one featured music by composer John Debney. The movie is entitled Dreamer. The score features violin work by the great Joshua Bell. Take a listen. And that's music written for the film Dreamer by composer John Debney. For my money, one of Debney's better scores from recent years. Right now, let's take a listen to a selection or two from a pleasant score by composer Aaron Zygmunt, written for another charming little family drama entitled Flicka, a remake of the film My Friend Flicka. Take a listen.
Thank you.
And that's music written for the film Flicka by composer Aaron Zygmunt. Next up, music from one of the most critically acclaimed horse movies ever made. That was Seabiscuit, and it featured a score by composer Randy Newman. Newman does this Americana sort of thing so very well, and does it once again with this score. Enjoy! That's some fine music by composer Randy Newman, written for the Gary Ross film Seabiscuit. Next up, we offer a selection from Carmine Coppola, the composer father of Francis Ford Coppola, who scored the film The Black Stallion. Take a listen.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're spotlighting music from movies about horses on the program today. We just featured a selection from The Black Stallion by Carmine Coppola, so why not feature a selection from Georges Delerue, written for the sequel The Black Stallion Returns. Enjoy. Good stuff from composer Georges Delerue, written for The Black Stallion Returns. Let's change things up a little bit with a score from composer Hans Zimmer, this time written for an animated movie about a horse, Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron. While the Bryan Adams songs written for the soundtrack are rather uninspired, the Zimmer score is a pretty enjoyable one. I hope you enjoy this selection. That's music by Hans Zimmer, written for Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron. Next up, maybe my favorite score we're featuring on the program today, a really lovely effort from composer Danny Elfman, written for the 1994 version of Black Beauty. Let's take a listen. Thank you. And that's music from Black Beauty, written by Danny Elfman. I do hope you've enjoyed the music on the program today, and now it's time to move along to this week's movie review of the new film Secretariat. I have to admit, there are few genres that I grow weary of as quickly as the inspirational sports movie. It's a genre in which a small handful of rousing successes have served as the template for countless knockoffs. I can't say I was too excited about seeing Secretariat, which looked to be another typically formulaic telling of a story everyone knows. To a certain degree, it's exactly what I expected. The usual clichés are employed without much hesitation. However, I have to admit that I was surprised by how effective the movie is despite its predictable nature. The story begins when Penny Chainery, played by Diane Lane, inherits the responsibility of taking care of her father's land and horses. Her dad's played by Scott Glenn. It's expected that she'll simply sell his valuable mares and move on with her life, but Penny finds herself enormously interested in the family business. Two colts are about to be born that have been sired by a champion racehorse. When they're born, one of the horses will go to Penny, the other to a fellow breeder, played by James Cromwell. Who gets which is decided by a coin toss. Penny loses but gets the colt she wanted all along anyway. That colt grows up to be Secretariat, a remarkably gifted stallion with endless potential. Unfortunately, Penny has fallen into a tough financial situation just as it looks like she might have a champion racehorse on her hands. The obvious way out is to sell Secretariat, which will more than cover the debt, but Penny refuses. She's determined to take her horse as far as he'll go, no matter what the cost. Here's where it gets sticky. If Secretariat loses, his value depreciates considerably, and she will no longer be able to use him to cover her debts. Will Secretariat prove to be the great champion Penny believes him to be, or will he lead her to financial ruin? Odds are extremely high you already know the answer to that question. I suspect the vast majority of viewers will know going in that Secretariat won the Triple Crown and set a number of records. So why does the movie work? Because director Randall Wallace, who wrote Braveheart and directed We Were Soldiers, doesn't build his film around the suspense of whether Secretariat will win, but rather on recapturing the thrill of witnessing this remarkable creature achieve things no other horse before or since has achieved. It took me a while to warm up to the film because it takes a while for Wallace to hit his stride. The opening half hour or so is a clumsy, stilted, unpersuasive drama that goes through the motions in a manner that feels alarmingly artificial. The dialogue rings false time and time again, while the actors initially seem to have fallen into the trap of paying too much attention to the fact that they are recreating history. The stuff involving Penny's family conflicts. She doesn't have time to be there for her kids. She and her husband squabble over finances. She's attempting to cope with the fact that her father is suffering from dementia. Play like something from a cheap made-for-TV melodrama. But then, something happens. Once Secretariat enters the picture, the filmmakers and actors seem to step up to the next level, as the mundane subplots start to fizzle out and give way to the principal story of Secretariat's rise to fame. The movie sharpens its focus and substantially increases its dramatic intensity. Wallace may not be particularly adept at creating nuanced three-dimensional family drama, but he can certainly capture the primal thrill of a race. Like the title character, Secretariat starts out miserably before gaining surprising momentum and sprinting to victory. Horse racing is a sport that seems tailor-made for cinema, and Wallace manages to wring drama out of the proceedings from every angle. He spends a good deal of time setting up the stakes, developing characters that have a lot to lose personally, financially, or professionally, sometimes all three. After all the hard work and preparation, everything is decided in a handful of breathless moments. Secretariat's final victory is underscored not by the usual swelling orchestra, but by a boisterous choral performance of the gospel song, O Happy Day. It's not just a victory, it's a religious experience. The performances are mixed, but mostly effective. The sturdiest turn comes from Diane Lane, making a return to acting after a brief hiatus. Her work as Penny is not the sort of showy performance that's likely to generate awards, but she sets out to create a distinct character and gets the job done nicely. John Malkovich is more hit and miss as trainer Lucien Lauren. His oddball delivery sometimes seems ill-suited to the lines he is given. Even so, he's never uninteresting to watch. Old pros like James Cromwell, Scott Glenn, and Dylan Baker aren't given much to do, while actor and political figure Fred Thompson seems to enjoy chewing on a few scenes. The one performance that just doesn't work at all is Dylan Walsh as Penny's husband. It's a bland portrait of a bland character. While there are scenes in Secretariat which are handled quite badly, once the film finds its footing, it proves a rousing, enjoyable slice of entertainment. If you're looking for a pleasant, family-friendly way to spend 2 hours, you could certainly do worse. I give it a rating of 3 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you enjoyed the show, and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. In the meantime, here's Jukebox the Ghost to take you out. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.
Well, I've never known why it's a crime to say you're not fine, but I've never been quite all right, though I will admit the time. This time is on my side. And we think to start, let's go home to where the heart is. So, when you feel left out, oh, go have a shout to nobody, 'cause you got nobody at all. Strange rules of this game, but I'll try not to be a martyr, but I feel that sometime soon something big is gonna change. And we think to start it, let's go home to where the heart is. So when you feel left, shout to nobody, 'cause you got nobody at all. And while I'm locked out, oh, I have a shout to nobody, 'cause I got nobody at all. I'm singing la 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 la. So while you call me home, oh, you got a place for your body when you got nobody at all. And while you're